You're listening to The Grow Smarter Show. I'm Scott. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about movies and marketing with Jeffrey Sass. So stick around.
What were some of the lessons you learned making trauma movies that you've applied to other industries?
Well, thanks, Mike. I think, it's very interesting looking back at it now after having, a longer career and being an entrepreneur and being involved in a lot of different companies and startups. I realized that making a movie, especially an independent film like the trauma movies, is really like running a startup. You're just doing it in a much more concentrated period of time. But when you're making a film, you're literally doing everything a startup does. You know, you have to have a business plan, your script, you have to hire and fire people, you have to raise money, you have to really bring your product to market. You've got to finish that film. You've got to find customers or an audience for your film. So you're really doing everything any entrepreneur would do, but you're doing it in a very concentrated period of time. You know, these independent films, we'd be shooting for, 8 or 10 weeks, and the whole movie might, take a course of 6 or 9 months. So it's a very concentrated, very focused period of time. And because of that, a lot of the things that you have to do to make a movie really apply very well to business. And there are a lot of great lessons that I felt that I've learned through my experience making these wildly crazy low-budget films that I've been able to apply to various industries and various companies, over my career. And a lot of it has to do with, communication and discipline and culture. And there's a lot of chapters about that in the book. One lesson that I, recently came to mind again is this notion of using the word we. At Troma, which was, run by Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Herz, who were the founders, they were real characters. And even though it was a small, arguably rinky-dink little company on the west side of Manhattan, we had rules. And one of the rules was there was no I in Tromaville. I mean, technically there's the letter I in the word Tromaville, but as employees or volunteers working there, we weren't allowed to say I ever. Anytime you were communicating on behalf of Troma, it was always we. We would like to meet you for lunch. We would like to read your script. We would like to see your movie. Whatever it is, it's we. And it didn't matter who you were, whether you were the founders of the company or whether you were an unpaid intern, you had to say we. And that was a very powerful lesson to learn, because when you say we, you immediately feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's a key to creating a great company culture, is really everyone at the company has to feel like they're a part of something that's bigger than themselves. It has some purpose behind it. So by saying we, you immediately felt like you were part of this team, the Troma team. And every movie even started with the logo that said a Troma team production. And it was very effective externally as well, because when we presented ourselves to potential business partners, filmmakers we were trying to get into bed with, so to speak, reviewers and the media, they always thought it was odd that who was this little company that always said greetings from Tromaville and we want to do this and we want to do that. So it really helped make us stand out externally, and it helped create this sense of really being a part of something internally. And to this day, I feel uncomfortable if I use I in any kind of business correspondence. I prefer to say we, and it goes toward, when you think about filmmaking in particular and business in general, they're collaborative processes. Unless you're, truly a solopreneur, working by yourself, or an artist that's painting on a canvas, or a writer just typing away by yourself, almost every other business venture is collaborative. You have other people involved in the process, and there are very few things you do solely by yourself, even if you own the company. And so by saying we, by involving everyone else, you're being more honest. If you've ever been in a meeting and someone stands up and who was working on a project that you were involved in, and they say, well, I did this and I got this done, and you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, I was part of that project too. You know, what about me? So when you say we, you're really including everyone, and you're respecting the fact that your work is collaborative and nothing really gets done by one person by themselves. So that was an important lesson.
Right. And I like, it's amazing with when everybody's 100% bought in, it just adds so much more depth.
Absolutely.
So can you tell me a little bit more about in your book, you state that making a movie is a lot like being in a startup on steroids?
Yeah, well, as I was saying, it's like you're doing everything a startup does, but you're doing it at a much more concentrated period of time, you know. And the thing about filmmaking, which is where the steroids come in, is it's really one of the few business ventures that sort of lives and dies on a daily basis. You know, when you're making a film, every single thing, every scene, and this doesn't matter whether you're making a Hollywood blockbuster or you're making a arguably crappy little trauma movie, although they're not crap, they're art.
They're
wonderful art, and I'm very proud of them. But, you know, it could be a movie with no budget or a multi-million-dollar budget. You still have to have everything scheduled down to a daily process, right? Every day is scheduled because every day you need to know, you know, what's the location you're filming at? Who are the actors that are required? What props and sets do you need? What about special effects, et cetera? Who has to be where, when? And you have to have a backup plan, which is something we often don't have in traditional businesses.
True.
Meaning that if you're filming outside on location somewhere, you know, where things are out of your control, like Mother Nature and the weather, you have to have a plan B for that day. You have to have an interior set somewhere that's nearby that involves the same actors and actresses that you're already going to have present for the exterior scene. So that if it does start raining or hailing or snowing or whatever, you have a backup plan and the day is not lost because every lost day is lost money. In business, we don't often plan as carefully and we don't focus on the things that are most important. You know, when you're making a film, I learned very early on that there were three things that were essential when you're making a movie, right? And those three things were you had to have a camera. Pretty hard to make a movie without a camera. You had to have film in the camera back in those days. Today, you'd have to have digital storage and sufficient batteries so that the camera would operate. And then you have to have actors and actresses to place in front of the camera and tell your story. If you didn't have those three things every single day, nothing else mattered. It didn't matter if your director was Steven Spielberg. It didn't matter if you had the greatest screenplay ever written or the most beautiful location. You could not make your movie without a camera, film in the camera, and actors to get in front of the camera. So every single day, those were the most important thing. And when I first started out as a production manager, it was my responsibility to make sure that those three things were the first things on the set every morning. So we had to have a car set to pick up every actor and actress to make sure that they were up in the morning and on set on time. And even with a low budget film like Troma would make, that car wouldn't be a limousine. It would be some production assistant's personal vehicle, you know, dented and dirty, but at least there'd be someone there to knock on that person's door, wake them up and make sure that they were ready to be on the set on time. And we had to protect the camera truck and make sure that that was on the set and got there on time and everything was in order. So those were very important. And I think in business, we can be very busy on a daily basis, but we may not be moving our business forward on a daily basis. So in the book, I talk about how in business, you should try to identify what are your equivalents of the camera, the film, and the actors? What are the two or three or four things about your business that are absolutely necessary on a daily basis to keep that business moving forward? And if you're not focusing on those things, then you're kind of missing the boat or you're spinning your wheels. And you should really identify the things that are important that you should be paying attention to every single day. So you don't go home at the end of the day saying, gee, I was really busy today. You go home and say, gee, I really moved things forward today. I really worked on something that was important in moving my business forward.
All right, 100%. So that kind of leads me into this next question from your book, How to Be Open to the Unexpected. Why is that important?
Well, it's very important because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen and things change and you have to be willing to deal with and embrace that change. And a lot of times, especially in business and startups, you know, there's a lot of focus in our culture on raising money, you know, talk about the unicorns and all this stuff. But, you know, having money is not the answer to everything. And there are many unexpected things that happen in business where throwing money at it is not necessarily the answer, or money can't solve the problem. You know, case in point, when you're making a film, if you're on set and something breaks or something changes at a location, you know, just having money in the bank doesn't mean you can get a replacement to the set on time and in time to save the day. You have to think on your feet. You have to, you know, do what the old sailors did at sea. You have to jury rig something and fix it with what you have at hand and figure out a way to make the scene work with whatever's available if the things you were counting on didn't show up or broke or something changed. So you have to always be prepared to think creatively. And sometimes not having money, sometimes, you know, the training of being on a low budget film, for example, you know, really prepares you for those situations much better than if you're always in a situation where you feel like, well, I've got, you know, unlimited resources and that'll get me through every problem, because there's a lot of things that come up in business and a lot of issues and problems that where money is absolutely not the answer. And sometimes too much money is the problem, not the solution.
True. Like, I love how, such a stark contrast between the indie versions compared to the big box office style productions.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, and in business too, it's the same thing. It's the story or the product that really matters the most. You know, right. if you have a business and you have a great product or great service, you have a much greater chance of shining through with less money than even if you have tons of money in the bank. If you're putting out crap or you're putting out something that's substandard, just throwing money at it is not going to make your product any better. And you might get a pop at the beginning, but in the end, it's not going to be lasting if the product's not good. And the same with movies. You know, if you have a great story, well told, you know, there's a lot of leeway then with what the production values are and what you can get away with in terms of not having a great budget. On the other hand, if you have a terrible story that's told poorly, it doesn't matter if you throw a ton of money at it, it's still never going to grow its audience. And we've seen that happen time and time again.
Yeah, that's a rotten tomato right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Looping back to something you had mentioned earlier, giving credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. And that ties back to the whole we and the sense of team and creating a culture. But you know, it's really important to acknowledge the contributions of others. Now, when we were making Troma movies, you know, virtually anyone who, you know, came within 100 yards of the film got their name in the credits. You know, if we were preparing, we'd have in the end credits of the film pizza delivered by, you know, Joe Schmo or whatever his name is. So everyone got credit. Everyone was listed in the credits. And number one, didn't cost us anything, because if you have, you know, 10 names in the credits or 100 names in the credits, it's not really, doesn't really cost any more to do it. So it's an easy way and an inexpensive way to give credit. And it made everyone feel good. It made them feel like they were part of something. You know, everyone loves to see their name up in lights, you know. So giving credit where credit is due is really important. You know, when if you're a manager, especially, you know, in business, if you are a manager and you have people who report to you, it's really important to shine the light on them, not yourself, right? The signs of a great manager is someone who makes their team successful, you know, not someone who tries to leverage their team to make themselves look successful. They will look successful if their team is successful. And so, you know, shining a light, if you're a manager and you're reporting to someone, you know, give the people on your team credit for what they do. Sometimes give them credit for more than what they did, right? It's going to make them feel great. It's going to make them feel appreciated. And you're still going to look good. You don't have to say I, and you don't have to make it look like it's all your work and not their contribution to look good. You look good if your team is successful. So I think that was really important. And giving that credit in filmmaking was always something we did very, very generously and oftentimes funny. If you watch the end credits of a Troma movie, you'll find a lot of hidden jokes within the end credits. And now we've seen other movies start to do that. I'd like to think that we started that trend.
Absolutely. And I think it is important to share the wealth, so to speak. It doesn't cost you anything. You gain huge from it.
Absolutely. And when you think about company culture, you know, so many studies have shown that, you know, it's not just money that people are looking for, especially now. You know, people are looking for purpose. They're looking for meaning at work. They're looking to feel like they're making a contribution. And many studies have shown that many employees would rather be appreciated and be acknowledged for their contributions than have, you know, some sort of a financial raise. Just throwing money, again, like I said earlier, just throwing money at it doesn't solve the problem. Just paying people lots of money doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be happy and performing at their best. Appreciating them and recognizing them and acknowledging them is more likely to have them performing at their best.
Right. So what are you working on now?
So now, from the book's perspective, I'm actually starting to work on the audio book, which I shamelessly should have done when the book was first published, but I didn't. So hopefully one of my goals for this year is to come out with the audio book, which should be a lot of fun. So on the book side, and then I'm CMO of several companies. So I'm CMO, Chief Marketing Officer of .club Domains, which is the registry operator for the new domain extension .club. So instead of .com or .biz or .org, you can get a domain name ending in .club. Nice. And there are a lot of great new domain endings available now. So even for my book, for example, since it's called Everything I Know About Business and Marketing, I Learned from the Toxic Avenger, I registered the domain name toxicavenger.marketing, and that points directly to the book's page on Amazon. So there's a lot of creative ways you can use domain names that have meaning and that are relevant to you or your business for your marketing. And I'm also CMO of a e-commerce company called Paw.com. PAW, and Paw.com makes beautiful pet products, especially these beautiful pup rug dog beds, which are memory foam dog beds that have a beautiful washable faux fur cover. So they're great for your dog, and they also look beautiful in your home. So Paw.com is a great pet product company that I'm involved with. And I also advise on marketing several other companies as well. So pretty busy all on the marketing side of things.
Nice. Would you ever be tempted to get back into the indie film market?
Certainly from a writing perspective, absolutely. I always sort of have a screenplay that's in progress and other, you know, things that I'm working on. So we're actually also producing a documentary on startups. Both .club and Paw.com work out of a startup incubator we have in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, called Startups.club. And we've actually been working with a camera crew and have been sort of tracking the progress of several companies, including Paw.com, who are working out of this incubator. And we're putting together a documentary series on startups and entrepreneurship following those companies. So I've got my hand in the entertainment space with that project as well.
Well, that sounds very interesting. You know, on a serious note, I would mind learn a little bit more about that myself.
Absolutely. There's some information at the website, of course, startups.club. And there's a little teaser trailer, and we're actually working on the pilot episode right now. And we've been following these companies for the past year. So we've got a lot of great footage and interesting stories. And one of the goals of this show is to really show the variety of people who can be entrepreneurs, and that you don't have to be in Silicon Valley or New York. You could be here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and still be a successful entrepreneur. And we've got, you know, a variety of businesses in different verticals, from the pet industry to robotic flower arrangers to some pastries, you know, and a beer app. So all different types of businesses, types of founders. So it's a really interesting mix.
You had me at beer.
Exactly.
So on that note, with the domain names, why do you think domain names matter so much in today's world of social media, especially for marketers?
Yeah, so I think it's going to begin to matter even more, because to your point, you know, with social media, it's wonderful that we have at our fingertips all these platforms like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter to share our content. However, when we're doing so, we're sending people to someone else's property, right? You know, all companies, including major brands, saying, oh, look us up on Facebook, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to Instagram. What they could simply be doing, and what I strongly recommend, is they should have a domain name that's relevant for their business. And a lot of businesses use a .club to point to their Facebook page, because their Facebook page is their community online. It essentially is their club. And then they can tell people, go visit us at ourname.club and have it linked directly to their Facebook page, which is beneficial on several counts. Number one, you're not training people to go to Facebook. You're training people to go to a domain name that you own and control. Yes, it points to Facebook, but it points directly to your page. Instead of telling them to go to Facebook and search for us, in which case they might see the wrong page in the search results, they might be distracted by other things that come up in the search results. So by using a domain name and redirecting it to your Facebook community, you're guaranteeing that people show up at your page and nowhere else. The second important thing is, you know, nothing's forever. There may come a time when you don't want your community to be on Facebook. You know, you may want it to be somewhere else. If you've trained your fans and followers to go to a particular domain name, you can control where it points. So it might point to Facebook today, but 2 years from now, maybe it points somewhere else. And you don't have to reprogram your fans or try to move them around, because they already know to go to this web address and you control where it points. So I think, you know, the rise in social media, I think, is actually going to create a greater demand for people to have personalized domain names that may point to their social communities, but that they're in control of.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100% with that. Well, while I'm thinking of it, where can listeners get or find a copy of your book?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to go to toxicavenger.marketing, and that will take you right to the book's page on Amazon, where you're one click away from purchasing it in Kindle or paperback format. And then the book has a website at everythingiknowabout.marketing and a Facebook page as well. And you could find me on Twitter at SASS, S-A-S-S. I was early on Twitter, so I was fortunate to get my short and sweet last name as my Twitter handle. And also you could find me at jeffreysass.com. And if you're interested in learning more about .club, go to get.club, www.get.club. And of course, paw.com is at paw.com.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Grow Smarter. Join us next week when we talk brand building with Laura Bowles. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify so you never miss an episode.